This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum, everybody. Greetings of peace. The headlines are reading all over. Irish singer Sinead O'Connor, if you haven't heard, the sad news, has died at the age of 56. Causes of death are unknown at this time. May God Almighty Allah, the Creator, have mercy on her and grant her Jannah.
Well, we do begin with that breaking news from the music world. ABC News is learning that Irish singer Sinead O'Connor has died at the age of 56.
Many news agencies are reporting on this breaking news, covering different portions of her life, what made her famous, the early portions of her life, some of the controversies, like her tearing up the picture of the Pope because she was protesting the abuse and the scandals in the church regarding the children that later came to the mainstream. I also went through some of these reports to see how much time they gave, if any, to the greatest decision that she made in her life was a few years back before she died, accepting Islam. Now, at the time, this was huge news. They're not really giving too much focus on it. I'd like to hear what you guys have to say. What do you have to say about that? Leave it in the comments below. But for those of you who want to know, I was fortunate enough, I was blessed to go ahead and speak to Sinead O'Connor off camera and on camera. She made a promise that she would only talk to me.
And also I made a promise that I would only talk to you. That when I was ready to talk about it, I would only talk to you.
When she was ready to talk, shortly after she accepted Islam, and Sinead O'Connor, she kept her promise, and we had an historic, exclusive interview. So I thought this would be a great opportunity for those who have not seen the interview, who are really curious to know, towards the end of her life, before her death, why would Sinead O'Connor, she was a legend in her era, Irish icon, somebody who was like an Elvis Presley of her time, very famous, well-known. She ends up accepting Islam. They're not touching upon it too much. So for the reporters out there, for the news agencies, they can also watch this interview that we did. If they want to be fair and balanced, they can go ahead and report also on many of the things that she discussed. She gives some very intelligent answers to the questions that I've asked her. And you guys can go ahead and benefit from this interview. She really, really went against the odds, and she was bold and fearless in accepting Islam. Why? That's the question. Well, you're only going to find out truly, because this was one of the only interviews that happened out there, the first. So we made history with this, alhamdulillah. And going deep into her story here on the Dean Show. So I hope you enjoy, and hopefully this can be a benefit. So open your heart, open your mind, and enjoy this interview I did with Sinead O'Connor. And at the end, I'm going to have a special gift for you. There's no introduction needed. We're with Sinead O'Connor, one of the legends out there. You actually made a statement, and it's really profound. But first, before that, I want to say that you purposely didn't want to do any interviews because you didn't want people questioning your sincerity in this decision of becoming a Muslim.
No, it was more because I felt that I didn't want to have to. It was a private decision.
Right. Yeah.
I didn't enjoy privately having to justify it to people.
Yeah.
There's so much stigma, you know, and I felt like, you know what, I don't have to explain to you or to anybody else why I became a Muslim.
Yeah.
And that's what I was trying to avoid. I didn't feel like I had to explain it to anybody, you know.
Do you...
And I also got some very good advice, which from, you know, someone whose name I promise not to mention, but a prominent musician who also became a Muslim, advised me that the best thing I could do would be to keep as quiet as possible, you know. So I made a promise to myself that for a certain length of time I would not go to the mosque, for example, because I didn't want media following me there.
Yeah.
And bringing all of that there. And also I made a promise that I would only talk to you. That when I was ready to talk about it, I would only talk to you. So I'm not, after this, I'm not talking about it, you know. Although in saying that, I know that can't be true, A, because I'm female and I love talking, and B, I feel so passionately about Islam. and passionately about defending it against stigma, that I probably will talk a lot about it, but I wasn't ready, you know.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for coming on the Dean Show. Do you find it ironic that people can make all different personal decisions in life and they won't catch as much heat? They'll do all sorts of things. And now why, when it comes to Islam, now it's like everybody's, going bizarre.
Well, you know why? It's because the very tenets of Islam are against everything the world worships. The world worships money. That Islam is the truth and has the truth and has the truths, plural. And that's why it's so dangerous. Our culture is built on one great big lie, which is that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, right? And all the ensuing lies that can be manipulated out of that, including the very idea that Constantine had some type of epiphany. Sure he did. He wanted to exploit something and cause a whole series of lies, and that's what's happened. Islam has the truth. The person who has the truth and who also has nothing to lose is an extremely dangerous person, you know, mm-hmm. And that's how Islam is perceived. In Ireland also, we suffered from the same stigma also because of extremists, that we also had extremists because we had a war going on here, and there was a prejudiced and false idea that if you stood up at all for Irish nationalism, this meant that you supported terrorism, you know. And I think that you're falsely, it meant that, you know. And I think that Islam has suffered from the same stigma, that because there are extremists and there are terrorists, it's very easy for those who want to stigmatize us to say that we're all terrorists and we all support terrorism, which, of course, we don't, you know.
Yes.
And then I found what I was amazed by was the prejudice I found from women about the fact that I choose to wear hijab. Because I find it amusing, because to me, they're saying to me that, oh, you're trying to comply with Eastern men's view of beauty. First of all, I'm not. Look at the state of me. I'm not beautiful at all. But secondly, it's nothing to do with that. It's a choice. And in fact, under the Islamic law, at my age, I don't have to wear a hijab, actually. You know? But what amuses me about it is that these women have their hair bleached blonde. It's got a thing going across here and it goes down here, their hair. Uh-huh. Their hair itself is a hijab, their very hair. They're trying to conform, in fact, to Western men's idea of beauty. Uh-huh. So I keep saying, well, if you don't like hijab, then shave your hair, because it's the same thing. There's no difference, do you know what I mean? Yeah. So, but I'm amazed at the prejudice about that. I found more prejudice about wearing the hijab than about actually becoming Muslim, you know? And so consequently, I love wearing it, you know, and I feel naked without it, you know?
People, I mean, you pretty much, to sum it up, you said by saying the Shahada, by accepting Islam, is that you love the creator of the heavens and earth first and foremost, beyond materialism, beyond anything in creation. You did what Jesus did. You did what Moses and all these great messengers that God Almighty sent. That's all you're doing. In essence, yeah. You're just choosing to love and put God Almighty first, saying, I'm not going to worship anything but the Creator. That's Islam. Yeah. That's what Islam is.
What happened to me was, I had been studying theology since I was 7 years of age, really, in truth, and I'd gone to college and I had studied all different kind of things, and I had left Islam to last for some reason, probably because I had prejudice, you know. And then what happened was, and only yesterday in the Quran did I hear it being said that this would happen to people. But what happened to me was, as soon as I started to read it and listen to it, I realized, oh my God, I've been a Muslim all my life and I didn't know it.
Wow. Yeah.
I was a Muslim all my life because it's a headspace. It's a way of thinking. Islam is a way of thinking about God. It's exactly what you just said. Somebody who believes that nothing in this world should be worshipped more than God. Even though I fail sometimes, I'm not perfect, I fail. I worry about money, I worry about the things that we all worry about. I forget sometimes that I don't need to do that. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
In fact, I forget a lot, you know? That's what happened to me. Why did you decide to revert? Revert is the right word.
Yes.
I was always a Muslim and I didn't even know it. You know?
Yeah, that's the belief that every child is born in a natural state. If you left it alone, it would worship just the Creator, the one God alone.
Yeah.
And that's what you did. You came back to the natural way. You came back to the pure way, a pure monotheism, worshiping only the one God.
Yeah. And it's very much for me about the strength of the scriptures, the intelligence, the sheer intelligence of the scriptures. that I just knew immediately, like, nobody wrote this but God. Nobody sang this to Gabriel or to Muhammad but God. Nobody could have created it but God. It's so intelligent. It's so, you know, it's mind-blowing. I can't even find words. It's mind-blowing. Yeah. Every time I listen to it, I'm more mind-blown. And do you know what I love as well, which is probably I shouldn't love, but I do, some of the insults. Irish people love insults. Uh-huh. And I love when God gets annoyed in the Quran, when Allah says things like, we will brand him upon the snout. Do you know what I mean? Things like that. When God is in a temper, it's kind of funny, some of the insults. And I love so much when he says, you know, if there were two gods in the sky, you would have ruined both of them.
Yeah.
You know? And that talks about the religion that I left, yeah. The religion I was born into, which is Catholicism.
Uh-huh.
You know? That to me sums up Catholicism. If there were, as they believe, more two gods, which is the devil, is their other god, uh-huh. Then they would destroy both of them, you know?
Yes.
So that's the culture that I've had the honor to leave behind, that religion of lies, uh-huh. To come to the truth. You know?
Now the Irish people have a really good history with the Muslims. I remember the potato famine. At one point when you had this potato famine and then the Muslims came and, you know, lent support, and the Irish have really been loyal to that, and they respected that, you know, that help, and the Irish are really amazing people.
We have the second largest minority, if you like, or majority in this country is Islamic people, is Muslims. Mm-hmm. So we have a huge Muslim culture now. You know, but it's not big enough because there's not enough mosques. You know, there need to be more mosques. But still, we are now, thank God. When I was growing up, it was only Catholicism here. But in this country now, there are many different religions. But after Catholicism, the strongest and most fastest growing religion in this country is Islam.
Is Islam, huh?
Yes. And so, of course, the Catholic Church are terrified of Islam. Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a no-brainer, and they have every reason to be terrified. And, you know, if Islam is good enough for Muhammad Ali, it's good enough for me, and it's good for anybody else, you know what I'm saying? But if it's good enough for Muhammad Ali, it's a very frightening thing to the Catholic Church. For many reasons, I could explain that for an hour, but I think you'd understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, maybe you can, because you were the person that Conor McGregor picked out of everyone to come out for his opening song. Maybe now you can actually get help, get some dawah, and invite him to the purpose of life. You know, maybe you can get him now. Like he invited you, you can invite him for a sit down and talk to Conor McGregor.
Yeah, but you know what I really believe is that, you know, in the scripture where it says, you know, take me by the forelock and make Islam the limit of my desire. You know, Allah will take who he wants.
Yeah. Allah guides who he wills, yes.
Precisely. I don't feel like it's my job to convert anyone.
No, that's none of it. Our job is just to be the best human beings we can and to convey, you know, to try to do our best to convey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, because I really do feel, I love that part of the scripture, this idea of Allah taking you by the forelock and bringing you to Islam. If you know, and you won't understand the Quran or understand Islam at all if it isn't already in you. Do you know what I'm saying? Nobody can put that in you.
How was it also, when Lindsay Lohan, do you know her? When she started reading the Quran, you know, she's trying to, you know, get her life together. And then as soon as the whiff got around that she was reading the Quran, she also caught some heat. Did you ever talk to her or me?
I didn't realize until after I converted that she had done the same. I saw an article about it, so I didn't realize she had done that at all, no, but I was delighted to know.
Yeah.
I don't know her. I never met her. No.
Uh-huh. So you made a statement. It was very powerful. Proud to have become Muslim, the natural conclusion of any intellectual. So any intellectual theologian's journey. I mean, that's such a profound statement. I mean, this is not something that's hard to figure out. One God, worship him alone. Simple, easy to understand.
Well, and also, you know, no theologian, as far as I'm concerned, has the right to call themselves a theologian if they have not studied the Quran, if they have deeply listened. And I don't mean read it, because it's not for reading as such. I don't get it when I just look at it with my eyes. I have to hear the way it was designed to be heard, you know.
Yeah.
And, but you can't say you're a theologian if you haven't studied Islam, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. And if you study Islam and say you're a theologian and come out trying to crucify Islam, then you're not a theologian either, because you don't have the intelligence. Only an intelligent theologian can hear the Quran and go, I'm home. That's home. Do you know?
Yes. How is it now? Because you almost like conquered the world. I mean, and what I mean by that is that you had everything that this world can offer, right? And many people are still chasing that. They feel like if I just make a hit record, if I just make, you know, a little more money, you know, how does it compare? Because you've been all that. And what advice do you have for people who they don't, you know, take it to the next level? They just, you know, succumb to their desires and just want to chase the material things, but they forget about connecting with the one who created them.
Well, you know, I'm no different. I'm the same as every other human being. We all do that. All do that. We're all flawed. I'm no different. As I said to you earlier on, I worry about money. You know, I'm not as rich as people might think I am. You know, 32 years ago, I had one hit record. Do you know what I'm saying? I have to work to make my money, same as anyone else. I'm not broke and I'm not at poverty. Do you know what I mean? But, you know, I worry about the same things. I forget sometimes, as I've told you earlier, to remember that I don't need to worry, you know.
Yeah.
You know. So I don't feel like I'm in a position to advise any person who is suffering, because, you know, I would advise people, obviously, to hear the Quran and to believe, and I'm talking to myself even when I say this, to believe that there's no reason to assume that God has always taken care of me, so I have no reason to assume he won't continue to take care of me. But, you know, I suppose it's very hard. You can't, from a position of feeling okay, lecture people who are not okay as to how they should, you know what I'm saying?
I understand, yeah.
Sometimes faith doesn't put food in your mouth. You know, that's the fact. The fact is, there are an awful lot of people in the world, as we're talking, who are dying of starvation, even though they're the most faithful people on earth, you know. And I can't advise those people how they should feel, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah. How do you have some people come around? I mean, now from the shock, have some friends or family, like, after they've, has anyone taken the initiative to be like, hold on, let me open this Quran up. Let me actually see for myself instead of hearsay.
Well, the people close to me were very good to me about it, actually. And the person who has become interested is my father, who is a very religious person.
Your father?
My father is a very religious person, and he is very interested in it. I have a hobby, which is painting scriptures. I've always painted scriptures, and I made him recently the scripture that says, not a leaf falls, but he knows it.
Allahu Akbar, mashallah.
I gave that to him for Father's Day, and he loved it, so he said that he would like to start to read the Quran. But I keep saying to people, no, don't read it, listen to it. You have to. It's not designed for reading. Muhammad couldn't read. As it said in the prophet Isaiah, right? It was predicted in Isaiah saying he's going to be illiterate. He can't. The person
that's actually a prophecy, prophesying the last and final message of Prophet Muhammad. Yeah.
Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah 29, chapter 29. Yeah.
Wow.
So I keep saying to people, no, please don't read it. It's not for reading. It's for listening to. Muhammad, don't you think he must have been a beautiful singer? He must have had a beautiful voice. You know, to recite the Quran, to be the first person chosen by God to recite the Quran, he must have had some voice, you know?
Yeah, it just amazing. It goes beyond comprehension that a man who was illiterate, he couldn't read or write, someone who was known as being Al-Amin, the trustworthy, to be able to compile a book today that's memorized by millions, I mean, all over the world. And sometimes even if a person can't understand what's being said, but they hear the Quran is powerful. It's very, very powerful.
I find it much more powerful to hear. Like, if you look at how it was created, it was designed for the ear. Music, I mean, it's. I know that this is not PC to call it singing, because it is recitation, but it's like singing. It's similar to singing. So music, you see, when something is delivered that way, it's the only thing that doesn't go through your intellect before it gets to your soul. It goes straight to your soul. See, if you read a thing, it's going through your intellect. You're thinking about it as you're reading it, you know? Mm-hmm. Whereas when you listen to it, you're just carried away and you're gone somewhere else immediately. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So what I love is on YouTube, they have these, and this is what I always tell people, on YouTube they have these beautiful recitations where someone is reciting it in the Arabic, and then someone speaks the meaning of the paragraph in English, you know, The one that I use is called Journey Through the Quran. That's just him speaking. That's Journey Through the Quran. But there are some beautiful playlists where you can hear it being recited and also spoken, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what I would advise. It has to be listened to.
So we'll leave that some advice from Sinead O'Connor to listen to the Quran, to pick it up, at least listen to it. And why not ask the Creator who created the heavens and the earth, I'm sure like you did, alone for guidance. If one is seeking purpose, to want to know purpose, that's very straightforward and simple.
And yeah.
Yeah. Very, very nice. Thank you so much, Sinead O'Connor. Another thing is, before we cut out, do you find that because of the Irish people were also, there was at one point in time, you know, being a minority, they were also, there was a lot of some negative press. So do they relate more with Muslims nowadays, knowing that, you know, Muslims are some of the most oppressed people in the world, and some of this media hype that Muslims are terrorists and all this other, you know, hype, that's this false narrative that's being perpetuated, they can see through this?
Yes, absolutely. That's why people like me are reverting. That's exactly, we can see completely and utterly through it.
You can see.
Oh, of course we can, because of what's happened in our own church, the scandals, the everything that's been going on for the last 30 years, mm-hmm. 20 years that people have been discovering, the lies that we've been discovering, this horrible stink, the horrible smell of oppression of the most vulnerable, you know. So and we've been watching what's been happening all over the world, Palestine, everywhere. We're not stupid. We're not stupid people, you know.
I just came from, and you can, inshallah, God willing, put it on your to-do list to visit a hidden gem. I came from there, and I like to say that there's a deep history in Bosnia. And this is where my family's from. And when you study the history of how the Bosnians came to Islam, they were actually Unitarian, the true Christians who didn't believe Jesus was God or a literal son of God. And they also disconnected from the church, and they were considered heretics, but they were just ones who just wanted to worship like you, like yourself. They just wanted to worship the one God. And then when Islam came, submission to the will of God, Islam, it fit like a glove. They accepted it. And this is how Islam came to Bosnia.
Yeah, well, see, that's quite, I'm sorry, go on.
And this is why we like to say that I make these points, because many times people think this is something of the other, it's something far away. But man, we could say, well, look, we were the original Christ followers, the ones who followed Christ in pure monotheism.
Well, that's exactly why Islam is so dangerous, in inverted commas, to the Western world and to the world that worships money. Because as we said earlier on at the beginning of this interview, Islam is the truth and has the truths, you know. That's very, very dangerous. And then you have an element of Islam that feels, understandably, like it has nothing to lose. If you oppress people long enough, they're going to feel like I got nothing to lose. And there's nothing more dangerous than somebody armed with the truth who also feels they've got nothing to lose, you know?
Thank you so much. May God Almighty, the Creator, Allah, in Aramaic, the language Jesus spoke, who we love and revere, he would say, Allaha. So that's the same Creator. And he would say, peace be unto you. Shalom alaikum. We say, assalamu alaikum. You see, we're bridging those gaps, educating the people so they can say, like, wow, like you did. Wow, that makes sense. I want to check that out.
I say, wa alaikum assalam.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you so much, sister. May Allah continue to bless you and keep you, preserve you, and keep you safe. Thank you so much for being on the Deen Show.
And that was Sinead O'Connor. Brothers and sisters, again, may God Almighty Allah have mercy on her and grant her Jannah. This should be a wake-up call for all of us that this life is transitory, it's very short, and death can come at any time. So just like Sinead O'Connor being in a position of ultimate fame and stardom and money, and then finally, towards the end of her life, she, before dying a few years back, she accepted Islam. And now for the people out there who are seeking to know the purpose of life and what's this book that Sinead O'Connor was talking about, if you open your heart, open your mind, and you beseech the Creator of the heavens and the earth for guidance, and then read the book. We'll send you the book. I'll send you the book as a gift. And if you have any questions, go ahead. Don't be shy. Tell me Eddie sent you. 1-800-662-ISLAM. And that should be something that should really shake people up. Death. What are you going to do with all that money you accumulate? At the end of the day, what are you going to do with all those cars? And you'll enjoy it for a little bit of time, then it gets played out. And then what happens with everything? You're going to leave it all behind. At the end of the day, it's not going to go with you. But your belief, what you believed in, any good that you've done, these are things that are going to be transferable to the next. But then there's a paradise, and if you work for it, just like if you work for that paycheck, you're working hard, you put the time in, you put the effort, and then you get paid. But if you don't show up to work, if you don't obey your boss, what's going to happen? You're going to get fired. And with God Almighty, Allah, if you don't fulfill your responsibility, roles, and obligations, that fire is the hellfire. So out of the love, we're trying to get people to contemplate and think, save people from the hellfire, get them to Jannah, to paradise. And the roadmap for all of this is in the Quran. And that's the book that Sinead O'Connor was talking about. So contemplate and think. The lights will come on, the party will end, the buzz will go away, and then what do you got? What have you lived for? 70, 80, 90 years old, if you make it to that much, and then what? Health issues, teeth falling out, gray hair start kicking in. What's it all for? What's it all for at the end? But if you fulfill your purpose, and now when you transition from this life and you go on to the next, is eternity, brothers and sisters, eternity in Jannah. In general, this is based on proof and evidence. It's not blind faith, and it's not an irrational belief. It's the belief of worshiping one and only one God, Almighty, alone. Worshiping the Creator, not the creation. That's the foundation of Islam, and living a morally upright life. Learn more. Go ahead and call. If you have any questions, tell them I sent you. Don't be shy. 1-800-662-ISLAM-4752. 1-800-662-4752. And go to thedeanshow.com. I will get you the free copy of the Quran. Thank you very much. Subscribe. If you haven't already, hit that notification bell so you can get all the upcoming shows and videos when they come out. And until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I'm Dr. Rania Awad, and I'm so excited to be here at the Dean Center, mashallah, which is under renovation. And I can't wait to see what's going to come. Inshallah, there's going to be a Dawah Center, there's a masjid, there's a school, an Islamic school, a gym, and what we hope, inshallah, will also have a mental health part of this center as well, inshallah. So I'm asking you to please make sure that you support this effort, inshallah. I really hope that it spreads and really the knowledge of Islam, and people get to know more about Muslims and Islam through this effort.